Well, it's good to see you, and those of you who are joining us online this morning, praise the name of Jesus. We have every reason to celebrate. Every reason to celebrate because of what Jesus has done and accomplished for us. And now we are the recipients of everything that he has done. We are going to continue in our series, Finding Home. Finding Home. If you want to get a full message on resurrection, I'm sure you'll find many, very, many powerful messages that preachers are preaching all over the world regarding the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm sure you'll be blessed. But right now, we are in this series regarding finding home. We're in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Someone say, I'm a member of the household of God. You belong in the house of God. You are a member of the family of God. God is your father. Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren. Without dishonoring our Lord, he is our oldest brother in the family of God, because we are all sons and daughters of the Most High God. Glory to God. What an elevation, what a promotion. Someone say, I belong in the house of God. Now, to feel that you fit and that you belong, you need to get over past church hurt. You need to get over negative experiences that you might have experienced in the house of God. And we started ministering on this, and we are continuing to say, do not allow your past church hurts or experiences stop you from truly connecting to your local church. Cancel any negative inward vows that you might have made during your time of hurt. An inward vow is something we tell ourselves that we will do or not do. So, for example, if a person goes to the bank and borrows money for something, and something goes wrong in the thing that they were trying to get the money for, or they start a business and it fails, and they fold the business, they go bankrupt, and then they make an inward vow to say, I will never go into business again. That is an inward vow. An inward vow is a prison that we make for ourselves, and we lock ourselves in it. And the only one that can get you out of that prison is you, because you have the key. Now, that inward vow can pertain to something that happened in a church. And a person may make an inward vow to say, I will never tithe again because ABC happened in a previous church, or ABC happened in another church, and they locked themselves in that prison. And the only person that can get them out is themselves. So don't let a previous experience that cause you to have an inward vow lock you in. Take your key, unlock the door, and come out of the prison that you might have made for yourself. Don't let your negative experience become a permanent victory for Satan. Don't let him alienate you from your purpose and from fulfilling your potential. You need to belong somewhere. You need to belong somewhere. You are created for connection and community. You need a spiritual home. And God has a spiritual family for you where you belong. Can I hear your amen right there? So we need to repent from self-righteousness and pride. Why did I say that? You see, self-righteousness and pride will make you think that you are morally superior to others. Will make you think that everything is below you. There are people who are afflicted with self-righteousness. They believe that they can stand above the body of Christ. By the way, that is somebody's wife. And judge her. Tell your neighbor, that's somebody's wife. Don't you think that her husband is the one to handle whatever might need to be handled? But no, there are people who feel that they're above the body of Christ. They are so righteous that they can judge the bride. And as much as God has raised up ascension gifts to teach, to encourage, to strengthen, and the word of God to correct, to even rebuke, and to train in righteousness, nobody is above the body of Christ. Jesus is the head. And if a person has to get their house in order as a husband, that's their job. It's not my job to correct someone else's wife. It is the job of the husband to lovingly correct and guide his own wife. But there are people who are self-righteous, who feel that somehow they have moral superiority to be able to judge individuals. Now, I'm not talking about judgment according to the word of God, as in evaluating what is right and what's wrong. We are to evaluate what is right and what is wrong based on the word of God. The Bible tells us to, that mature people must evaluate and discern good from evil. However, to stand above the church and to stand above believers and give ultimate judgment over their lives is beyond your pay grade. And so there are people in the body of Christ who are so self-righteous that they feel that there's no church good enough for them. There's no pastor that's anointed enough to lead them. There's no minister that has the authority or the right or is qualified to lead them. That's a spirit of self-righteousness and pride. I'll get to the spirit of rebellion another time if God helps us to get there. But we've got to deal with the spirit of self-righteousness were. Some people think they are monitors of churches. That their ministry is to monitor and to evaluate and to judge every single church according to whatever standards they have. I want to say to you that there's a likelihood that there's a spirit of self-righteousness. When you look at some of these comments online, you see these people posting stuff. And I know that not everything is perfect in the body. That's why Jesus isn't here yet. Ask your neighbor, did you hear that? Because he's coming for a perfect bride without spot or wrinkle or any such. The fact that he's not here yet means we're not there yet. And he knows it. But what we must watch out for is this spirit of self-righteousness. You find people, many of them, if not most of them, don't even pastor a congregation. They've never even been to Bible college. They've never been trained, never known what it means to stand at the helm of a church and to lead it. Have no idea, but they can criticize. And they can judge what other people are doing. Listen, you don't judge someone else's servant. You can evaluate, but you don't judge. When I say judge, I mean put a final judgment, and that just cancels that person, writes them off, unless they are a false ministry or a false minister. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So we must repent from self-righteousness and renounce any prideful spirit. Listen, we are all qualified by grace alone. Can I hear an amen? Whether a person's behind the pulpit or they're not behind the pulpit, we are qualified only by the grace of God and not by our works. So self-righteousness and pride will deceive people into thinking that there's no local church or pastor good enough for them. That they're better than any local church around. That local church does not deserve their presence. That no pastor deserves for them to submit to them. That is a spirit of self-righteousness and pride. I don't know any athlete. I don't know any excellent, outstanding individual that has never been coached or mentored. Because a coach and a mentor may not be as talented as you are, but their gift is to help you go to the next level. They may not have as many trophies as you have, but they know how to help you improve in whatever field that you are in. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's nobody who has excelled in anything without being trained. Nobody. Everybody needed somebody to help them grow, to improve, to go to the next level. And so when you find a person that feels that there's no church that deserves my presence, there's no church that deserves me to give, to be involved, I'm too big, I'm too important, I'm high above, there's nothing else but the spirit of pride. Because life will humble you. Life will remind a person that they need people. Life will remind you that we don't know everything. But somebody has what I need. And I need to humble, am I talking to somebody? And I need to humble myself to go and get what I need. That yes, I've got the talent, I've got the gift, I've got this, I've got that, but I don't have everything together and I need help. So there's a need for many to repent from the spirit of self-righteousness and pride. And I'm not just talking about people in the pew. I'm not talking about just people in the congregation. I'm talking about in the pulpit. Even in the pulpit, we need mentors. We need people who can speak into our lives and say, yes, you're good here and here, but what about this? Yes, you're doing well here and there and there, but hey, I keep on telling you about this. We all need somebody because we all have blind spots. Everybody's got a blind spot. A place, an area you don't see, you need help. But other people see you need help. And a coach, a mentor will see that you don't see. And their job is to help you in those blind spots and help you improve and go to the next level. And we have to have the humility to say, I need that help. Someone say amen. Or you can say, ouch. So allow the Lord to heal you from any wounds associated with the church. Now, you'll know that you are truly healed when you are not easily triggered anymore. I just said something. You know about triggers. Yeah, you know about those areas when you say, don't go there. Because what's going to come next is not something you will like. You know that you are healed when you don't have sensitive triggers. I'm not saying they're not there, but they're not oversensitive. And you need the grace of God, but you access the grace of God and you are okay. You're okay. You see, when God heals something, let me go here just for a minute. When God heals something, he's got two options. He can heal it and remove the scar, and it could be like you were never hurt before. Or he will heal the wound and leave the scar to remind you, to keep you humble that one time you had this problem. So that, as Paul said, he gave me a thorn in the flesh. Why did God give Paul a thorn in the flesh? He said, Paul, you are too strong. You're too strong. I mean, you got it all together. I got to give you some liabilities. And so the thorn in the flesh for Paul was that he was persecuted everywhere he went. He was stoned, left for dead. He was imprisoned, beaten, shipwrecked. All these things. And Paul says, please take away this thorn. And Bible says he prayed three times that God would remove the thorn. And God says, no. I'm not going to remove the scar. My grace is sufficient for you. And Paul says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. He says, I've learned that with the scars, I lean more heavily on God. And so many times God will not remove the scar. There will be some sensitivity, but you won't be easily triggered. Because God wants us to rest on his grace. How many people know there are some people that just want to take you there? I mean, they want to press all the buttons. And that's the time when you have to say, Lord, give me grace. Sit on me, Holy Ghost. Because now this person has taken me to a place where I've been hurt before. I've been in pain here before, and they're standing on this corn. I'm about to go off on them in Adam, but Lord, help me to respond in Christ and tell them, please remove your foot from my foot. But when we're easily triggered, that means we're never really healed. When we are overly sensitive, that means that we never really got over it. Ask your neighbor, are you over it yet? When we're easily offended, there's some people, you know, they're just untintable. You can't tinter them. Doesn't matter where you try to tinter them and touch them, they're just untintable. Tell your neighbor, don't be untintable. Because in this life, you'll be tintered. Someone will tinter you. This is life. Someone will touch you in a place, in a space, in a way, with their words, with their attitude, with their actions, in a way that will activate Adam. Yeah, the Adam is the old you. The one you don't want Bazalwane to see. The one that's crucified with Christ. And no longer lives because Christ lives in you. But you don't want people to see that one. We need the grace of God. So we don't go there. But there are some people, and the devil will use, I covered this last time, will use somebody to touch you in a way to trigger you. And you and I have to be healed enough to say, oh, I get what you're trying to do, devil. But I'm not going to react. I'm going to let Jesus respond. I feel it. It's sore. But I'm okay. I love you anyway. Can I hear your loud amen? Now that's real right there. That's real right there. And I could say volumes about that. But all of it is part of the journey of our growth. So we must allow the Lord to heal us of any wounds associated with the church. Now, to feel that you fit and that you belong, be in the kind of church that God wants for you. I mean, spiritually, doctrinally, style, organizationally, language, etc. You are made to fit in a specific local church family, like any part of your body. Every part of your body was made to fit there and nobody, nowhere else. Nowhere else but there. You will know when you have found your place of belonging and your spiritual home by the Holy Spirit. He will confirm it to you in your spirit. You just know it. It's not about the size of the church. No. It's not about your personal preferences. No. I remember when I was in college, and of course, as an outsider in another country, as a student, I needed a local church. And I knew it. And what did I do? Of course, I do what anybody else would do. I tried to go to this church. Wow, it was lovely. It was all vibey. It was all excited. But I just couldn't feel I settled there. I had no problem with the church. I went to another church, sat there, and it was like a good church. But I just didn't feel that this was home. These were mega churches. And I'm not against a mega church. I decree this is a mega church. So get used to it. Tell your neighbor, get used to it. Amen. This is a mega church. And numbers is not the issue. And these were big churches, you know, 15,000 people, 5,000 people, and all that stuff. Beautiful buildings, everything just happening on point. I mean, these were ministries were really doing all the things. And then I went to visit another church in a small part of the town of the city, a poorer part of the city. And I got in there, and there were hardly 30 people. And I sat there, and I was expecting, something in my mind a bit bigger than this, but here we are. I'm visiting, right? And that's okay. I'm visiting. I'm just letting the Lord lead me. And I sit there, and the service had not even ended. And I just sensed, I'm home. And I stayed. Little did I know that in that home, apart from God impacting my life, ministering to me, teaching me many things to pray, lo and behold, one service, here comes this young lady. Ha ha! Here comes this young lady. And when she walked into the back of the church, I'm near the front. I want to hear everything. I don't need the distractions of being in the back. I want to be in the front and catch everything. And so I'm there in the front, and I'm like, what happened to the mic? Everything just went quiet in the room. And the preacher is preaching. Everything is happening. He's on fire, but I can't hear nothing. I didn't make a move. I did not make a move that day. I said, the devil is a liar. I am not going to let no woman mess up my hearing God. You know what I did? I went on a 3-day fast. I said, I rebuke the devil. Who is this woman anyway? That when she comes into the room, everything goes quiet. And it's like she's the only body there. The only person in the room. And I went on a 3-day fast. I said, that's nothing but the flesh. That is infatuation. And the more I prayed, the more I fasted, the more it did not go away. She just came and sat in the church, in the back of the church, and that's all that happened. We never talked to each other. I never introduced myself, but everything changed when she entered the room. And because of the church, come on, somebody. Because I was in the right place. Oh, I feel like preaching now. And somebody else was in the right place at the right time with my mind on the Lord. Had no other thoughts in my mind. My mind was set on Jesus. I was about to just do what God wanted me to do. I was on my way serving the Lord. But on the way, in the house of God, God decided, you need some help, brother. Let me send you the help that you need. And it was in the house of the Lord that God made the connection. Glory to God. Well, the rest is history. Give God a praise. Hallelujah. I don't understand these people that are down on the church. Most people got their start in the church. Most people started playing their instrument in the church. Most people started singing in the church while they were missing notes, while they were going flat and off key. We tolerated them and we nurtured them and we trained them and we were patient with them in the house of the Lord. And then they became professional. And that's a wonderful thing. Tell your neighbor, that's a wonderful thing. But when the devil comes in and says, now you no longer need the church, the devil is a liar. And the same people will feel they're above the church now. The very church that raised them up. The very church that gave them a microphone. The very church that gave them exposure. The very church that gave them an opportunity to be seen and heard. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The devil is a liar. We train people on audio and video. They come here knowing nothing about it. We put them behind a sound desk. We mentor them. We train them. Now they become professionals and they can go and have a skill in the world. Now, what sense does it make to kick the teeth of the person who fed you? Say, I don't need the church. We've raised millionaires in the house of God. Yes, we have. Came in busted, disgusted, in debt, in trouble, unemployed or whatever. Preach the word of God to them. Come on, somebody. I know you don't want to hear this because it's fashionable to attack the church today. And we ministered to them and they broke through and they got businesses and they became this and that. And they became millionaires and successful career people, lawyers and doctors. We took them from high school. We took them from college age. And they became successful. And then suddenly along the way, they feel they're too big. Now, I can't give that money to this church. Wait a minute. Isn't that the church that brought you to where you are? It's like saying, I can't do that for my mother. It's too big. Something's wrong with you if anything is too big for your mother. But this is the environment we have today that is popular to be down on the church. There are public speakers today who you have to pay big money, and we trained them in the house. We said, won't you be the MC for this little seminar? Won't you be the program director in this conference? Won't you be a... And then now they're professionals, now they're big names, and now they're too big. I can't give that money to my pastor. That's too much for him. It's a disease. And we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. The church is where most people got their break. And now, there they are in big lights. I'm talking about in the world, anywhere. You can look at any music artist. Name them. 90% came up in the church. But do they serve the Lord now? No. They will use the church, but they will not bless the church they use. We are canceling that spirit in the mighty name of Jesus. We say no more. We're removing those blinders. There are parents who couldn't handle their children, having problems with them, and they brought them to the house of the Lord, to children's church, to youth, and God straightened them out, and they started living right, doing right, behaving right, and all these things, and serving the Lord. And then those same parents don't want to come to church. The church that straightened out your messed up kid. You see how the devil's at work?
This anti-church spirit is an anti-Christ spirit. And we will not give in to it, and we rebuke it in the mighty name of Jesus. Some of us would not be alive today if it wasn't for the church. Why am I going here? Lord, help me. But somebody and some people in the church decided they're going to pray for you. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. There was somebody praying somewhere in the house of the Lord for you, and you were about to take your life, but somebody in the house was on their knees interceding in the house of God, and you decided to change your mind and change your direction and move in the right direction, and they are in the house. So we must understand the value of the house of God. God has a church for you. Listen, it's not about shopping around. It's about purpose and corporate destiny. It's about purpose, corporate destiny, because destiny cannot be fulfilled in isolation. I need to say that and help you understand this. We're living in such an individualized world. We actually have brought the lie or drank the Kool-Aid that you on your own can fulfill destiny. I want to tell you, it doesn't happen that way. Everybody needs somebody. Moses needed his sister Miriam when he was a baby, put him on that little ark, floated him in the River Nile when they were killing all the boys. But Moses' sister Miriam took care of his brother, was watching at a distance. Are you hearing what I'm saying? A princess of Egypt came to wash at the river and heard a baby crying and called for his servants. What is that in that thing? And they brought the basket, and there was Moses. And that's what his name means, the one drawn out of the water. Said, I'm taking this one home. And as she was leaving, Miriam, the sister, said, don't you need some help with taking care of this baby? Did not introduce herself as the sister of Moses. They said, yeah, I need a maid. I need a helper. You want to help me with this? Yes, please. Can I help you? So they went to Pharaoh's house. And Miriam was taking care of her brother. Raised him up. And the Moses that you and I see needed somebody to help him get to his destiny. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We all need, somebody say, we all need somebody. I've even heard about it in the business world that you can do all you can in your business, but many times what is missing is somebody to open the right door. And that's all you need. Someone to mention your name. To say, this is a good opportunity for someone I know. You cannot fulfill destiny in isolation. So people that stay away from church, will they live? Yes. Are they going to be saved? Probably stay saved. But one thing I can tell you, they'll never fulfill their destiny. They'll never fulfill their destiny because God has to bring people around us. Hello, somebody. For us to reach our destination. Glory to God. Everybody needs people around them. And in the house of God, God will raise up destiny helpers. Hello. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. People that will encourage you along the way. People that will pray with you. People that will stand with you. Have your back.
so you can get to where God is taking you. And the house of God is a place where a lot of that, not only the house of God, a lot of that takes place right in the house of God. Remember one time there was a testimony in the house, and we were having a Friday night prayer, and somebody asked for a prayer, and their prayer request was, I need a job. And they're in a prayer circle, and people are praying all over the building. And then when they finished praying for this person to have a job, and the prayer was finished, someone else in the circle says, hold on a minute, what's your area? And they said, I do ABC. The guy says, I have a job for you. Right there. I have long found out that if you stay home, you can pray all you want. If you're connected to nobody, God has no delivery system to deliver it to you. Because God has a delivery system. That's like your UPS. That would be like your Take-A-Lot. That's a delivery system. You know, courier service. A way to deliver your parcels. And that delivery system is a chain of people that God has to use. Even if it's a healing, he has to use somebody. And the Bible says, you shall lay hands upon the sick. That's a delivery system to get your package. And if praying by yourself isn't working, then you need to be connected to a delivery system for somebody to are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Maybe something you need to know in the Word of God, and God will use a teacher of the Word of God to help you connect that piece to say, aha, I know what's missing. Now I know what I need to do. That's God's delivery system. The church is God's delivery system to you. You disconnect yourself from the delivery system, no packages are arriving. Everything you do, you have to do by the flesh. You have to sweat. Because God's going to use somebody. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Someone say, thank God for the church. Woo, glory to God. Sometimes you just need a word from the Lord. I know that I'm talking to somebody right now. Somebody just to speak a word in your life in season, glory to God. You just need to hear something from the Lord. And here comes the prophet, and she delivers the word of the Lord to you. And you're like, that's exactly what I needed. It's a confirmation. Tell your neighbor, it was in the house. No, you can't get that online. There's no personal prophecy online. And I'm not against being online. But I'm against this culture where people think that it's an option to come to the house of God. It's not an option. If you want your destiny to be fulfilled, glory to the name of Jesus. Apostle Paul was called to be an apostle, yeah? From day one, God said, you're going to be an apostle, and da 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 da. But none of it happened. He went for 14 years into the wilderness to meditate and to pray and to fast and to download revelation from God. Visitations came by the dozens from heaven. He stood under an open heaven. God took him up to heaven. God took him down from heaven. He said, in the spirit, in the flesh, I do not know. But he wasn't an apostle until Barnabas came. He said, Paul, I've been praying and the Lord spoke to me about you. Paul was out in the wilderness by himself. He said, Barnabas said, come, let's go to Antioch. He was pastoring the church in Antioch. And when Paul was there, he connected. Someone say, get connected. And then one day the Bible says there were prophets and teachers in the church of Antioch fasting and praying. And the Spirit of the Lord said, separate unto me, Saul, and Barnabas to the work that I have called them.
And from the church of Antioch, Paul became what God destined him to become. He was not an apostle yet. He was only an apostle, even though the prophecies were there, even though the gift was there, the anointing was there, everything was there. He could not be activated until he became part of the destiny helpers that would release him into the apostolic with Barnabas. Then it was Paul and Silas. Do you see the pattern? Jesus and his disciples. None of them were alone. We all need people around us. And God has raised the church so he can make the connections. I see your destiny helpers coming in the name of Jesus. I see you rising. I see you surrounded by people that will stand with you, that will believe in you, that will be praying for you. And I'm not saying that every one of them will be forever, but even if it's for a season, I see you rising higher and higher. God making the connections. God is activating somebody's delivery system right now as I speak. Glory to God. Your parcel is arriving in the mighty name of Jesus, because you have decided to be connected somewhere. I decree it's coming in the next 3 days. In the name of Jesus, whatever it is that God has been talking about to you, I decree and declare you will have a testimony in 72 hours. In the mighty name of Jesus, stand on your feet and give God a praise. I said, give God a praise. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Woo, I feel something. I feel something's moving, something's shifting. Something is dispatched. It's big, it's weighty, it's heavy. It's been something you've been waiting for a long, hey, Yaboshaya, a long, long time. In the name of Jesus, hey, in the house of the Lord, it shall be provided. In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. In the name of Jesus, those of you who are connected to God's delivery system, I want you to begin to watch God. This is a season of release. This is a season of manifestation. This is a season of breakthrough. This is a season of restoration. This is a season of miracles, signs and wonders. They're coming to you. Be connected. Be related. Be home. Belong. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now lift up your hands and give God a thank you. I know God has spoken to a lot of people, even online. Don't drink that Kool-Aid. You cannot get there without the local church. Don't let the devil fool you. You need to belong somewhere. Even if it's not here, you need to belong where God has called you to be. Then things will open up for you. Doors will open for you. Things will begin to happen. And right now, if that is you, we can put down our hands right now. If that is you, and you were here, and you're saying, this is the house, please don't let this be an emotional decision. Let it be a decision that you know, that you know, that you know, that God has led you and is speaking to you about being part of this family. But you are saying, I believe I found home. I believe I found home. Doesn't have to be perfect to be home. I've yet to come into a perfect home. I've yet to go to a perfect family.
I haven't seen one yet. But you know that you know that I found home. Wherever you are, lift up your hands. Lift up your hand. I need you to survive. You know it? Okay, sing it. I love you. You love me. You need me.
We
yes.
are a part.
We're on a part of God's body.
Stand with me.
Stand with me.
Agree with me.
Agree with
we're
me.
We're on a part.
We're on a part of God's body. For that person, pray for 1 minute for that person, that whatever they have need of, that it will be supplied, that God will activate His delivery system on their behalf, that whatever they have need of, that it will be met, whether it is relational, spiritual, emotional, financial, circumstantial, whatever it is, physical, that need will be supplied. God will use anybody. God can use anything to deliver what they need. And so it's in Jesus' mighty name that we pray. Amen. Can we give the Lord a praise? Amen. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. Cause His face to shine upon you. Rule, reign in every area of your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Have an amazing week. God bless you.